It is Mental Health Awareness Day. We've certainly tried to make mental health issues something that we talk about openly, that people can address. I do know that, and in fact, I was invited, but I was on air. King David Linksfield had an assembly that was apparently absolutely astounding on mental health awareness. The reports that I heard around that was incredible. In fact, I was with a client, and he said to me he was at that assembly and then went to work, and he just had the need, he just told his entire staff about it, because this was something that that he just had to do. So we are starting to become a little bit more comfortable with it. But how much progress have we actually made?
I think we're starting to make progress. I think there is a move in the right direction. But I do still think there is a stigma out there, and quite a lot of stigma. I think there is a sense that who actually suffering from this, who actually has, if we want to call it mental difficulties, mental illness. But when you look at the statistics worldwide, there is every chance that when you get up and interact with people in the day, that you are going to interact with many people, not one or two, who are struggling with either depression, anxiety, a substance issue, in your day and every single day. And I think that's the point, is that, you know, I think still people don't still feel free to talk about it. I think there is, we have moved in the right direction. But I do think, for me, that people still don't feel, I suppose, safe enough to speak about it when they are struggling. And as I say, when the World Health Organization comes out and says that 800,000 people commit suicide each year, which is more than the number that are killed in war and murders and from breast cancer altogether, then that says a lot. So, and those are the people that are taking their lives. Those are not the people who are just struggling in the day. Those people who, are going to medication, and those people who don't even speak out. So it's a huge number. So I think, for me, again, moving in the right direction, but we still got work to do.
Is it possible at all, just playing devil's advocate, that the more we talk about it, the worse it is? There's certainly a thought that I've read in a few different places, that the more we talk about teenage suicide, the worse it seems to be becoming.
I don't think so. I think, for me, it's that same kind of mentality of, if you tell teenagers about condoms, and
they're going to rush out and have sex,
which is just not the case. I think, for me, it's hard out there. It is really hard out there, and I think it might sound like a cliche, but it gets harder and harder from so many aspects for all different demographics, And I think we see that in the statistics. So this idea of, you do get situations very rarely where there's this mass hysteria, and people looking for attention, and this contagion of hysteria around, a certain event. But really, overall, we don't see that. And it's just, I think, for me, we're seeing more and more people talking out, and we see more and more opportunities to express oneself if one is struggling. So I think we are moving in the right direction, as I say, but I certainly don't think that the majority of people who are speaking about their struggles are not
being exacerbated by the fact that it's been completely normalized. 8:16, or we're trying at least to normalize. It is 8:16. All right. So how bad is the stigma? Does it still exist?
Absolutely. And I think, for me, there are even very educated people. And it still surprises me how very educated people have misperceptions around mental illness. And
so what are the common misperceptions?
One of them is that they are not able to be productive in the world. Now, certainly, if you are struggling from depression and anxiety, to a large degree where it is debilitating, you sure. But the majority of people who have depression and anxiety are walking around productive members of society. And I think that's important to point out. And that goes to the point of, you're probably sitting or talking to someone today who is struggling with anxiety and depression. So I think that's the, you know, the first point. The second one is, which I think is so important, is that it's this idea of just snap out of it. So if you're anxious or you're depressed or you're struggling with a mood disorder, this idea of, you know what, just, if you really just try hard enough, you know, if you really just think positively, everything should be fine. So just do that. And I think for me, that's a very common misperception, that when you are feeling depressed or debilitated by anxiety, you are overwhelmed by it. And it's not just a matter of being stronger or thinking more positively, because it is absolutely debilitating. And I think if someone hasn't experienced that debilitation, that degree of anxiety or depression, it's very hard to describe what it actually does to someone.
What about ruminating? You know, I think I read in Martin Seligman's book, Learned Optimism, certainly in his experience, that if you over-focus on that and you ruminate and you can't get beyond it, that is in of itself is a huge problem.
Well, that's part of the difficulties, you know, when you are experiencing these mental illnesses, is that there is this perseveration. And that is part of the challenge, is to try and break that perseveration, to start.
What's the word?
Well, perseveration.
Perseveration.
So it's the same thing as rumination, really.
But I like it. I prefer it to rumination.
Do you?
Perseveration, yes. And I don't know it at all. Do you know the words, Anita?
No.
You don't. Perseverative thinking. So yeah. It just goes through.
Great word.
It just goes over and over again. You know, thoughts.
Might
are just
my word of the day, actually.
Perseverative.
Yeah.
Happy
you
to.
Might have redeemed yourself slightly.
Thank you.
All right. But anyway, let's carry on. Right.
So absolutely. Though that is a common symptom of these difficulties, is that when you are feeling overwhelmed, it dominates your thinking.
You can't get beyond that.
You can't.
You're sort of stuck in a loop.
Absolutely. Right. And you need help. You need outside assistance to get beyond that. Whether it's just, you know, talking to a professional or whether it's needing medication, certainly it's not as easy as, well, you know what, just pull yourself together. And the other, I think, common misperception is it won't happen to me. The statistics tell us that it is a very good chance, as I say, that for sure that you'll come into contact with people in your daily life who are struggling, even though they might not tell you. But, you know, there is a good chance that you, in your lifetime, would experience a degree of anxiety, a degree of depression. So it's not so foreign. It's not so unlikely that you will never experience some degree of mental difficulty. So I think that's also important to understand that this is very, very common, and this happens to so many people. In fact, the numbers are staggering when it comes to, the reporting. I saw a statistic this week that we often talk about SADGI, the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, that they have a helpline, and they've had over this year from January, they've had over 40,000 calls, to their helpline, which is a huge amount.
And in fact, on that note, I do want to remind people that Chai FM has launched a helpline, and that telephone number is 0800 24 24 36. 0800 24 24 36. Go and use that number if you are feeling concerned about anything at all.
Absolutely. Sorry, I mean to say SADAC, which is the South African Depression and Anxiety Group.
Right.
So yeah, they've received over 40,000 calls this year, which is a staggering amount. Which then also comes to a point where, you know, which tells us that you know, people often want to remain anonymous, and they want to just phone in and speak to people rather than go and, go talk to someone face to face. And also talks to the lack of resources that we have in this country for people who are struggling from a psychological, psychiatric illness. So, yeah, very important. And I would urge people to use the Chai FM helpline. I think, I've spoken to Kathy Kaler, whose brainchild it was, and it's an amazing initiative. I think people really should, just don't
be afraid. How hard is it for people in a difficult situation to pick up the phone, to take that first step?
It's very hard. It's very hard because, again, the fear of stigma, the fear of actually, putting it out there is scary. Also, if you are feeling very anxious or depressed, it's very hard to actually get going, to actually mobilize.
Yeah, so that's what I was wondering, because I would imagine just that thought of picking up the phone must be sometimes quite overwhelming.
Absolutely. So to actually pick up the phone and mobilize and start addressing it is often the most difficult part. But you know, it's amazing. You know, when you take a thought out of your head, difficult thoughts. And I think for me, that's why therapy still has its place and why face-to-face interactions still has a place. Because, with all this social media and the technological interaction, face-to-face interactions are still so powerful. And we see that human interaction, human comfort.
It's how we built.
Absolutely.
It's how we designed.
Absolutely. So you can Skype someone and you can FaceTime someone or even just SMS someone.
The first step very often is just talking to somebody anonymously because it's easy to do. Therefore, pick up a phone and use a helpline.
And that's the first step.
Right.
But absolutely, and let's not undermine or...
Well, it's part of a journey. Your helpline's never there to be your therapist. They're there to help you just gather your thoughts and to maybe help you move in the right direction. Jenny wants to know, why are we less resilient mentally? Well, are we less resilient mentally?
You know, I don't think we are. I think things have changed. You know, I think for me, you know, when we think about what, you know, we've been through as the human race, and just recently, World War One, World War Two, Great Depressions, the numbers are higher now. But I don't, you know, of mental illness, and I don't think it's because of a lack of resilience and grit. I think it's because times have changed, and you know, never before have we seen what we see today. The amount of information that is out there, which can cause anxiety, is absolutely overwhelming. And I think that is, you know, just one example of why we see.
You know, I can't help myself, and it's quite a difficult thing. I keep thinking, you know. And I get it because I really, really do. I see the challenges. I really can empathize with it. But then when I think about when you're talking about World War One, World War Two, what some of our predecessors went through, and now we're saying we're very anxious because of the amount of information out there. It just seems absurd. It's so hard to imagine, you know, surviving the Holocaust and losing your family versus having so much information on your smartphone. Like, I can't wrap my head around it.
Absolutely, because the one is so, you know how, there we, and again, I mean, if we're comparing it to the Holocaust, we've got to be very careful, because that was...
No, and you should never do that, because ultimately, otherwise, none of our trials and tribulations are of any value, because there's always the Holocaust, and there's always a child dying in Syria. So everything, you can compare, and then your problems are nothing.
Right. So that's the point. The point is that, and I think what it comes down to is that often with mental illness, and I know it sounds like a cliche, you can't see it. You know, when someone goes through a world war, you see it. And obviously, then the person must be traumatized because look what's happening around them.
There's legitimacy in inverted commas.
And again, the cliche, you break your leg, you get help. But again, you know, I think for me, this is the point, is that things that happen which we don't see, so interacting on the internet, and my colleagues, I talk to my colleagues, we see it more and more. You know, when there are school shootings in America, that every time it happens, you can see a spike in anxiety amongst teenagers.
So the most negative parts of the world are all brought to us.
When there's a
that's really what it is.
Exactly. It's about perception. Really, it's about feeling like the world is a very, very dangerous place. I have children now coming to me and saying, you know, young children coming and saying to me, oh, geez, I'm actually, you know, children that I've already been seeing recently and saying, you know, I think I'm not sure I want to live in South Africa anymore because now children are being kidnapped. And this was obviously in response when I've explored it with them to the one kidnapping.
In Van der Bijl, which was a school teacher who knew the kid.
Absolutely.
Very specific issues. The kid was saved.
So again, the loss of perspective is very, very important. You know, when you are at
and
war.
And we personalize all of our news as well.
Absolutely. It feels so personal. It feels like it's happening to us. And we hear too much of it.